You are now listening to Ride With Me, the Flat Tyranny Podcast.
Welcome to Ride With Me, episode 87. Today is January 28th at 6:44 p.m. And Officer Ricky's here.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
We did have another guest that was supposed to be here today, but he kind of, I guess, didn't make it home in time. So we're going to leave that podcast for another day. So in the meantime, we're just going to bullshit, I guess.
Yeah, that's what we do best anyways, man. It's like you always told people, podcasting is just conversation with phones in front of you.
Phones or microphones?
Microphones. It's in there.
Yeah, someone's like, fuck it, we'll just figure something out, spit it out, and then call it a day. Roger wants to do one, but it was last minute to call him. But
yeah, no, I always like when Roger's here. Roger's a good time, man.
I don't know why, but people laugh more when he's here. So
he's funny. He's a funny guy. What do you expect? I don't know, man. Funny. Everyone thinks you're funny. You know?
He needs to cut it back. No, but so like I said, we'll just spitball it. I guess we'll kind of roll with the idea that my buddy had, but we'll get into that in a little while. But in the meantime, how have you been? It's been a minute.
Yeah, I know, man. It really has been. I mean, at least I've been on the podcast. I've been good, man. You know, work, new adventures right now. So it's been interesting right now. 2023 definitely is has been different so far.
Yeah, I've been started a new 2023 started with me being moved to a different route.
Okay.
So I'm no longer in La Puente, City of Industry. They moved me to El Monte and South El Monte, which is still just on the other side of the freeway.
Okay.
I'll still be home. I think on Thursday, I clocked out and I was home in 5 minutes.
Oh, so your route's still not. You're not further than.
Yeah, so I'm still not far, but it is new faces, new people, new territory. One of my accounts is only 6 minutes away from the Monterey shooting.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, it wasn't far. One of my accounts is across the street where those two El Monte police officers were murdered. So there's that. And there is a lot of there is one spot that it looks pretty ghetto.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, mm-hmm. It is what it is. I mean, one of my accounts last week I was in there and the manager got into a argument with somebody trying to steal something.
Yeah.
And I was like, and it got pretty loud, but the manager didn't held back, bro. She was going off on her, calling her a fucking puta and get out of here.
So man, you know, it's kind of crazy. Like where I work right now, it's really bad when it comes to stealing from stores, because a lot of times, you know, it's South Central, so it's not nowhere near the best place, and because of that, a lot of places, even though they'll have security, they'll have a hands off. So pretty much, they're just there as like presence, but also to report, maybe approach them, stuff like that. But like, don't put hands on. So a lot of times, that's what they're doing. They'll because they know that they'll figure that out, and they'll just steal, and just walk out the door.
That's what the other employee was saying. She's like, and we can't even touch her because. Yeah. We'll get fired. I guess a last employee got fired.
It's a liability. That's what that it has, that it can potentially escalate. So if someone gets hurt, even if the person stealing gets hurt, you know, they can come back and sue and stuff. It's craziness. So,
yeah. What happened a couple months, was it a year ago? There's this guy that I guess somebody stole something, that the same thing as a gasoline station. Homeboy came out with the gun, shot the guy and killed the guy. And now he's in jail.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and that's what she was saying. It's like, we can't even touch them. It is what it is.
No, you can't, because at the end of the day, they'll be like, well, that's why you have insurance. That, what was the threat to your life? Well, no, he was stealing, you know, this and this. Okay, well, was there a weapon involved? No, he was stealing it, and he pushed me. So you shot him because he pushed you?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's one of those where it's like, there's no way to really be like, oh, that's my property. Well, yeah, it's property. It's not your life.
Yeah.
You know, the difference between defending property and defending life. You can't just shoot someone because you're defending property. I'm sorry, this is not the Wild Wild West no more. You can't do that. And that's why people find themselves in trouble, because like, well, I thought you could defend my property. You can, but you can't be extreme.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
No, yeah. And she understood that. The manager understood that. She's like, we're going to call the police, and it's pretty much an event number. That's it. Nothing really they're going to do about it.
At the end of the day, if I hate saying it, it really just comes, it's more of an insurance matter.
Yeah.
It's like, obviously, we'll do our detective and our preliminary investigation, but if it's like, oh hey, they stole, you know, a case of beer,
it's a loss, man. It is what it is.
I'm sorry to say, but you're probably gonna take that as a loss.
Yeah,
you know, we're not, gonna lose that, especially everything's going on. We're probably not gonna lose sleep over a case of beer. That's probably gonna be in the back files if I'm being 100% honest. So that's just the unfortunate reality. But how is it with that new route? Like, since you're meeting new store owners, stuff like that. Like,
so
do the trust right away come up, or?
Well, so first of all, we used to have a cutoff time at 4 o'clock to submit our orders, and they lowered that to 2:30.
Oh,
so in the so if at 4 o'clock we were running, now at 2:30 now we're so. But they did cut some stores off, and they made it to where you finish the stores. So, for example, you have an 8-hour day. One store is going to take you an hour, but three of them are going to take you 30 minutes.
Okay.
You know, so they kind of rigged it that way so that you finish on time. So, like, on Mondays, I could be done by one. I mean, on Mondays, I could be done. On Mondays, I can be done at 3 because I pull ahead.
Okay.
Tuesdays, I'll be done at 2:30. Wednesdays, I can be done at 1:30. Yeah, Thursdays and Fridays I can be done at 2:30 as well. So, which is, it kind of benefits now because it benefits me in the family because I can pick up the kids with no questions asked.
Yeah.
You know, I've come home and I sat on the couch for 30 minutes before taking off to go pick up the kids.
Mm-hmm.
So it benefits. But yeah, no, meeting new customers, new people, it kind of comes in handy when you're a new salesman in a route where the owners weren't a big fan of the last salesman.
Okay.
So you walk in and you're pretty much, whether before they even know you, they just know that you're someone new,
and
that's cool.
They may give you the benefit of the doubt right away.
Yeah. So they're like, oh man, it's cool. And then they give their 2 cents about the last salesman, and then we get on our way. I'm sorry, I'm not like that. And I'll let my actions speak louder than words.
Yeah.
And okay, cool. And it's just the trip, the territory, like the area. There's honestly there's a lot of I'm not trying to offend anybody, there's a lot of Orientals, I guess. Mm-hmm. I went to a store and dude, it's like an indoor swap meet, and it's nothing but Chinese people, dude, just all over the place. Dude, I couldn't find parking in the store, and it's like the way the road didn't make the street, the arrows on the floor didn't make sense. It's like you're supposed to go left on this lane, but the cars were all parked right. Yeah, so it's like I was tripping out. So that was last week, and I found a parking spot way the hell in the back of the parking lot. But it took me like almost 5 minutes to get to the store and a walk. So what I did yesterday, I got there before they even opened, and I parked on the side of the building. I was there for like 20 minutes before they opened. So, dude, in and out before customers started showing up. But it's like it's a trip. It's like an indoor swap meet.
That's
but
cool.
Most of the building is like a grocery store.
Oh, okay.
But they have a spot where they have like tux and dresses, and there's another cell phone spot, like an electronic stop.
Damn. Yeah.
And then they have the grocery store, and in the back of the grocery store, they have like these massive fish tanks where you can go buy live fish for your dinner.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's cool.
It's a trip, dude. Oh, yeah. And like, it's what do you call it? I'm trying to get, so I get there, right? And it's my first time in the store, so I go find an employee. You know, hey, where can I find so and so? Dude, he was so mean. Like, I'm like, oh damn. I mean, I guess I'm gonna go in the direction he pointed. You know?
Yeah.
But yeah, no. I mean, other than that, it's no big deal. But no, yeah, it's. It comes in handy when, like I said, when owners weren't a big fan of the last salesman. So it's like they welcome you with open arms. So I went to one store 2 weeks ago for the first time, and the lady's like, oh, you know, and she gave her 2 cents and her complaints, and, you know, our company has left them a bad taste in their mouth. So I'm like, I'm sorry, you know, I'll try my best to, you know, prove them wrong or whatever the case mean. And she liked that I was the way I was speaking to her, that they have this taco truck outside.
Mm-hmm.
and it's not their taco truck, it's somebody else's taco truck.
There's a park side, yeah.
But she walked out and she told him, give him the order, the combo 3 on me, don't even, you know. I'm like, no, señora, está bien, it's okay, no, it's cool, I have food in my car. She goes, no, give them the number 3, and Dude, these birria tacos were amazing.
No way.
It was actually on my wife's birthday. So I called her, babe, you won't believe where I'm eating right now. She was so pissed. But I took them last Saturday. I took them last week. I took her and I took my suero because he came over to help us.
Are they better than the ones that are right here? Because I like those.
They love. Okay, so they love the tacos because they pack them, bro.
Oh, okay.
They're pretty thick. Yeah. But they love the consomme, the juice, yeah, over here better.
Okay.
So okay. It's like a
give and take, whatever. Yeah. Okay.
But they, yeah, dude, the quesadilla was amazing. They really pack it, bro. Leti was like, I'm going to get these many tacos. And I'm like, dude, you're not going to need that many tacos. And, dude, she ate one and a half. And once she slows down,
you know.
She's full.
Yeah.
She's full.
I'm the same way.
And, the same thing. But she wanted so many. Like, all right, good luck. So she ended up giving half to her dad because she couldn't finish them.
Yeah.
She one and a half, bro. She was done.
Damn, that's cool, man. Hell yeah.
They're good, dude. They're good. I'm like, and then the lady is like, so how you like the tacos? I'm like, dude, this is the second time I've been here in 2 weeks. So what do you think?
Yeah, pretty good. Hell yeah, man. That's cool. So I'm assuming that's what you were getting a lot was more people were more welcoming to you.
Yeah, they were more welcoming because of
that makes sense. Okay,
you know, last sales.
Dang, man.
That comes in handy.
Okay, so the transition was pretty.
Yeah,
what was welcoming?
Yeah,
because I figured like if they're like, oh man, I'm used to working with Marcos. Who the hell are you now?
Yeah, I came like when I first moved to the last territory I was in. That was wasn't the same. It was horrible. It was horrible. I was getting bad surveys. I was getting just like bad customers complaining about me. And it's like the thing is that we're not supposed to break the law. So I'm not going to break the law.
I remember you mentioning that before.
Yeah. So, yeah. I remember you mentioning that. There's breakage. If you have a six pack that one bottle broke, what were we just saying about earlier about loss? That's your loss. That's your loss.
Yeah.
Last salesman, the police customers, was buying the breakage for himself. I'm sorry, I don't drink.
Yeah,
I'm not going to spend money on product that it's just going to sit in my garage. It's kind of like the stack of beer that I have.
Yeah, I know, man.
Right over there.
And I feel bad. You offered me. I'm just not drinking right now, man.
5, 6, 7 cases just sitting right there.
We haven't had a little get-together in a while, too. So, yeah.
I just don't see anybody drinking that kind of beer. Yeah. So I just left it there. But yeah, man. So yeah, this new route is just the fact that I can get off really early. It's great. Overtime sucks because now I'm not really getting much, but is what it is. And then we just took over Hard Liquor.
Oh, okay.
So now we're gonna sell like Parrot Bay, Fireball. Those Fireballs that I had last time, those are not Hard Liquor. Those are malt.
Yeah, well, I saw your comment on
my Facebook. Comments. Yeah, dude, so yeah, many that, people. Dude. So they're suing Zazerac.
Yeah,
because of the misleading, right?
They're claiming it's misleading.
They're claiming it's misleading, but we have two. They have two different kinds. They have one that they can sell to accounts that don't have a hard liquor license.
What is that? Is
it hard liquor license? We're talking tequila. No, know, so like, it's the one that are made with malt. They make them with malt for accounts that can't sell hard liquor. So that's why they made it. And it says on the bottle, malt. And it doesn't say cinnamon whiskey. It just says cinnamon.
Yeah, it just says cinnamon. Because the original one does say cinnamon whiskey, though.
That one's whiskey.
Yeah, that one's legit whiskey. Okay.
So
I was reading your comments. I'm like, why are you getting in with these people that don't know what they're talking about? What are you doing, Andy?
No, some people were like, oh, that makes sense.
Yeah.
They were, because I commented on those, every single Facebook post that came up about Zazerac being sued, I took the little screenshot that I have. I ran in the garage. My wife's like, babe, dinner's served. What are you doing? I got to go get something from the garage. And I ran in the garage. I took a picture of the malt one.
Yeah.
And I had a whiskey one in the house. Yeah. So I had to put arrows to show people the difference. This one's malt. This one's like whiskey. But see,
to the common person, though, like, I didn't know what that meant until you told me, like, back then when I was like, oh, I like the refrescas. And you're like, oh, that's a, oh, no, what's it? What, I forget which one, but like, oh, yeah, that's a malt beverage. I'm like, what the hell's a malt? You know, I don't know.
Yeah.
So to the common person, they may just be like, oh, malt, this is another type of liquor.
Yeah.
You know, it's not whiskey, but, you know what I mean? So it's a lot of people just may not know. They still may not understand.
I don't think Cesarac's gonna lose this one.
No, I don't. I mean, if it's labeled there again, it's one of those. If you know, you know.
Yeah.
So if they just don't know, they thought it was whiskey. You got to read what you're buying.
Exactly.
You know.
Exactly. I don't think Sazerac's going to lose this one, but it is what it is.
I'm sure they'll still settle for something, though.
You know,
they usually always do. Like, they'll just settle just because they don't want to go through a long court proceeding.
But that's the thing with why cave in, man? Why cave in?
It's easier. People don't want... I mean...
This is
it's expensive to go through a long litigation. So they're like...
Even with us, like, for what I do for a living, it's like sometimes... you know how they say the customer's always right? No, the customer's not always right. No. I'm like, you're allowing this customer to throw a little tantrum and get their way.
That's why.
What are we teaching them? Like, they can just throw a fit and they're going to... I feel that's the only reason why I got that write-up for the situation at
7-Eleven. It's 100% the reason. It's 100% the reason why a lot of us get write-ups. Like, for instance, me working in what I do in law enforcement, it's... People use that all the time. They know, like, oh, I'm going to call your supervisor, put a complaint. I always tell them because I don't care. I always tell them, look, this isn't my first complaint. It's not going to be my last. I know what I'm doing. I'm not breaking the law. I don't care if you don't agree with what I'm doing. You know, this is why I'm doing it. I've explained to you. I don't care if you don't agree with it. I'm telling you what I'm doing and why I'm doing it. I don't care that you don't think that it's right or legal. I gave you the court cases regarding why this is legal, why I'm doing what I'm doing. If you don't agree with that, cool. You can talk to my supervisor, put a complaint on me. I don't care. It's not going to stop me from doing what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go further to ensure that I enact all, you know, my rights of being a cop to do my legal actions that I'm allowed to do, because now we're just wasting time. You're giving me a harder time about it.
Yeah.
So now I'm going to be a little bit more thorough. So, but people complain all the time, and I hate that. You know, even with us, like when because we get sued all the time. I get sued a lot, you know, and so... I just hate when sometimes like, hey, we're going to settle it. I'm like, why? I did everything legally right.
Yeah.
I did everything by the book. There was nothing that they got against me besides them feeling offended. And you're going to just, you know, now you're giving them money for this. Like, yes. It's funny. People, when I stop them, they'll tell you like, oh, I got another litigation going on with you guys. So this is going to be another, you know, literally like $5,000-$8,000 in my book because of you. Thanks. And I'm like, and I'm sure they'll pay out too. I'm sure they will. It's crazy, man. It's crazy.
It's sad, bro. It's honestly, that's why, like I said, man, people continue to do what they do because they continue to get, which is like just to shut them up. But at the end of the day, they're winning. They're winning. They're going to continue to do it because they know they can win. So, like I said, man, it's like when it comes to customers, like difficult customers, oh, just go handle it because, like, but he's winning, like, what the fuck, all for a buck, whatever, dude. So
yeah,
no, I try not to get to that point anymore because it's at the end of the day the customer's gonna win. So
yeah, no, that's why sometimes, like, I really like that saying of the, you know, pick and choose your battles.
Yeah,
you know, it's true. You know, there's sometimes where I'm like, you know what, this is not gonna be worth it.
Yeah,
even though I know nothing's really gonna come on my end, man, this is not worth it.
Yeah,
you know, let me just shoot this person away.
Yeah, well, fuck the law and all that bullshit. Fuck the police. Fuck the police. Dude, I wanted to call you so bad the other day and just tell you fuck the police. But that's a different topic. Yeah. But how? Anything else, man? How's the family? Anything?
Dog's good, still man. Good? Yeah, we sold another little puppy. She's with her family now. She's actually with one of my buddies, and no, she's having a great time, man. She's doing a lot better. Other than that, just... The wife and I are just going through in vitro fertilization. So that's been an experience the last couple months. It's been cool, though. Expensive, but cool. So, well,
I have a buddy of mine that was doing that. I think he spent like $30,000. And yeah, then nothing, it wasn't working. And then one day, I think they went to the Bahamas or they went to Jamaica or whatever. And his wife got pregnant. Like, yeah, son, no, of a bitch.
Yeah, no, I wish that could be the case. But yeah, no, we're going to have to do this. So it's... Like I said, yeah, it's about around there. So it sucks because it's all up front. You know, you can't. I thought it was like a pay as you go. I'm like, nah, man, this is, we can't repo nothing back. You can't repo the meds. You can't repo the kid back. So nah, man, this is all up front. So I was like, dang. So it's gonna hurt for a bit. But I mean, we're all happy. We're you know, kind of slowly prepping the house and stuff like that, you know, because I think late February, early March is when I think everything's going to go down. So, you know, we're excited, you know, so it's little moves here and there, you know, feeling like an adult.
I believe in Christmas you had a question about what would I pick if I had the opportunity to pick.
Yeah, that's so with in vitro where we're going, usually this is extra, but this actually comes with the package already, and you get to select your gender. And since we're doing one kid first, it's, you know, do you want a boy or a girl? We want both. We want a boy and a girl. So it's like, which one do you select? That's like, so I've been asking people around, you know, so that's why I threw the question to you and the fam, you know, but I realized that whatever they had first is what they all said. So it's all biased. Yeah. You know, like, you know, one person had a girl first, so they said, oh, get a girl first. You had a boy first, you're like, oh, get a boy. I'm like, God, this is not helping.
But then again, I gave you my example because of, or my pick because of, I did have a girl.
Yeah.
And look at that, how that turned out. You know, girls just break daddy's hearts, bro. You know? Girls break daddy's hearts, bro.
So I don't know. We're still up in the air. And that's like one of those things that I was telling you, that's too much power for one person. We should not be able to select. You know, and like my mom was like, oh, well, why don't you let the doctor choose? I'm like, okay, well, someone's going to choose. If it's not going to be Mother Nature, it's not going to be no random person.
Yeah.
It's one of us is going to select. So
why don't we do this? Get the family together and everyone be not with you guys, you and your wife out of the picture. We all get together and we all come up to a decision and do a gender reveal party, and whatever color comes up, that's what you got
to
pick.
That'd be actually kind of cool, actually, to see. You know, that'd be actually kind of cool. So we have thought about something like that.
But who's going to get to pick the ultimate decision? We got to fight to the death, bro. Hunger Games is shit.
Yeah, so, you know, it'll be fun, you know.
If you're saying that you guys want two or just the one?
Want two.
Okay, then that shouldn't be a hard decision. One now and then the other one later.
But it's like, which one do you know to go first, though?
Twins.
See, that was option number two, but it's, I guess, a lot of problems when you have two, like twins, that can develop.
Octo Mama had eight, bro.
Yeah, but that's a different breed. She's a different breed.
You think kids just turn 18 or 14, something like that?
That was crazy.
Yeah.
I couldn't even imagine, man. One seems a lot. Then I hear twins and like, geez, that sounds crazy.
At least it'll be one and done, bro.
See, that's what my wife says too. So
she'll only have to go through that pain one time.
She's really considering it, and then it'll be a C-section regardless, which is kind of what she wants. But she wants that though. She wants a C-section. So especially now since like they're a lot better at it. So like the scars and stuff like that are like very minuscule.
Really?
Yeah, so she actually wants a C-section.
Oh, no shit.
So that's why she's also more down for twins. I'm like, yeah. But she's also just frugal, so she just, because it's not extra to have twins with where we're going. So she's like, it's like a two-for-one special.
Buy one, get one free.
Yeah, I was like, oh, man. I don't know that risk, though. So I'm like, that's a lot for a risk. So I have a couple more. We have our next appointment coming up on Tuesday, so I got a couple more questions I got to ask before I feel comfortable, like, all right, let's throw two in there. So we'll see, man.
I mean, one and done, bro. Fuck it.
Yeah, I know.
One
that's
and
what,
done.
That's
one
what
and
she
one.
Keeps saying. And I'm like, I don't know. That's just, that's difficult.
You do understand you can't sell these for $3,000, right?
That'd be more for sure. It's my jeans. I'm selling them for more. But I like the whole servant aspect of it. That's kind of nice.
Dude, I'm telling you. You just snap your fingers and they'll bring you water.
I know. I see Andy do it all the time. And then he was telling me, he was like, yeah, man, I see you always cleaning your house. I'm like, dude, it's always dirty. That's why you have kids to clean.
They like, clean it for you,
gonna
dude.
This is going to be great. This is going to be great.
They clean it for you, bro. I'll get home and I'll sit on the sofa and they're over there running the kitchen, helping making dinner. What about dad? And the wife's like, well, your dad went to work today.
Yeah. No, that's going to be, I'm going to be great. It's like, man, I'm doing my part. Where's your part?
Yeah.
Your part is the cleaning. You can do whatever you want pretty much after that. Just get your chores done. So, yeah.
They do it. Like, JoJo got off of school early on Thursday and Friday. And I got home from work and he was already playing Fortnite. I'm like, the wife's like, did you look at the kitchen? It's spotless. Did you look at the living room? Spotless. He did everyone's chores just so he can play. Yeah, so, bro.
Worth it.
You don't have to bribe them with anything, bro. You just got to have expensive shit for them that they'll want to play with. If you're going to have a phone in their hand 24/7, you're not going to win.
True.
If you're going to make them earn their phone, then they're going to clean everything, bro.
That's true. That's very true.
They almost washed my car this morning. I wasn't that lucky. But, yeah, man. They come in handy, bro. No, I mean, it sucks that they're teenagers, because sometimes I'll go through the old photo albums or external hard drives, and I'll find their baby pictures and shit. I'm like, you're like a little man. Fuck. Time flies, bro. Time flies, bro. That's why I always say, like, when people tell me I'm going to be a dad for the first time or a mom for the first time, lots of photos. See, lots of photos, man.
I wouldn't say I'm against that, but I'm sure, because I know Beth is going to do that for me regardless. The wife.
She's definitely need to clean her phone out, bro. She's going to have to clean her phone out, bro.
Yeah, because I'm just not big on pictures. I'm one of those that just likes to live in the moment. But I know that looking back, it's going to be great to have all those photos. They always say, oh, you're always thankful for the person that takes the photos. I just hate the whole photo taking process. But
honestly, dude, photos kind of got really annoying when we stepped foot in this family. It's the same fucking pose at every fucking event. Regular Saturday, photo.
Yeah.
Easter, photo. Christmas, photo. The same fucking pose. Yeah. So that's the only reason why I'm like, eh. But like taking photos of the kids, like we went to, the boys finally went with me on a bike ride. Was it 2 weeks ago? And we just went to Whittier Narrows, just to the lake. And I'm taking photos of them taking photos of nature.
Yeah.
You know, I'm capturing their moments.
It's like an optical illusion right there, man.
And there was one photo that I took. Everyone loves my screenshot on my phone. Is the one that
when they're sitting,
on the branch. And you can see the sun. So
yeah,
they went and sat on the same branch, but obviously the sun wasn't the same or whatever. But I still took the photo, and they were, again, like I said, they were taking photos of ducks and the lake or whatever. Mm-hmm. And that was me still taking photos, you know, even though they weren't really posing for them or whatever. Mm-hmm. You know me, bro. I like to take in the moment type photos.
Yeah, which is like, I like that, because again, when I have to like sit there and pose, that's why I like, and I know the family gives me crap for it, but that's why like I gotta make it fun for me. I have to keep my attention in. Yeah, so I'll start doing some dumb poses just because, one, everyone sees it's memorable, and like me, I don't care how I look in the photos, you know, I don't care. So, and at the end they'll be like, oh man, like long when I'm gone, at some point hopefully that's what lingers back, like, oh man, Ricky would do this and this.
Yeah,
I'd rather be known for that. And one, like I said, it makes it fun for me. If you guys want me to stand in these photos, I'll give you about two good photos. After that, if we need more, I'm sorry, I'm gonna start having fun, because my attention is going wild. Yeah. So I gotta interesting.
You left that day. I started taking photos when we went to go play baseball. Softball.
Yeah,
softball.
Mm-hmm.
And it's whether they liked it or not, I'm taking photos, but no one's posing.
Those are great, though.
They're swinging at the bat. They're swinging at the ball.
Those are great. You know, because it's not a chore. Like, you don't have to gather together to take this photo. You know, you're not forcing a pose. This is just, you're just going through your daily activity or through your sport activity. It's just someone happens to capture that moment.
Yep.
And that's what I like. That's what I was gonna say. Like, if I can just have someone there with, like, if I can hire a cameraman with me while I'm with this kid to capture his moments for me, instead of just taking them myself, I would enjoy that a lot better. You guys did
give Nick camera for Christmas.
That's true. Just
slip him a couple bucks.
I'm going to just have him live with us days for the next 8 months, just capturing the moment.
Uncle Ricky, I'm going to need another memory card. No. I like doing it. Like I said, today I went on a small bike ride just to the dam and back. And I was taking pictures of the sunrise. And then there was a group of bikers coming my way. And I was just snapping away as they passed me. A couple of them posed. A couple of them, they like gave me like their little waves or whatever, their gang signs or whatever. And so, which was cool, you know. They respected what I was doing.
Yeah.
And they didn't hey, don't do that. No, they were like, you know, waving at me, Cuba, posing for the camera and shit. There's a couple photos that I zoomed in on the guys' faces, and they were smiling like they were posing for the camera. So that was cool that they did that.
That's cool, man.
Went down to the lake real quick, and then just got back on the bike and let's go.
Nice.
So yeah, my intention was to go to the bottom of the mountains past the 210 freeway.
Okay.
But it was the first time I've ridden the bike that far, so I got tired. I got tired.
Didn't you go on a bike ride last week though?
No, it was raining last week.
Oh.
Yeah, it was raining. Was 2 weeks ago.
Two weeks. I'm like, I'm pretty sure you just went pretty recently. Okay, 2 weeks.
And honestly, I was talking to lately I've been taking our father-in-law to the gym on Saturdays. But I love the dude, man, but I can't do it on Saturdays, man. I told the wife today, I rather go on bike rides on Saturday mornings than go to the gym for freaking 30, 45 to an hour when I can go on a bike ride for 2 hours.
Yeah.
You know, I'll get more of a cardio on a bike than I am going to the gym. So that's a story for...
And it's more like you... That's more like your hobby, too. Yeah. That's actually what you enjoy
doing. I enjoy doing that. Yeah, so it's that more fun for me than to go into a building event.
Which I think is more important, right? Doing... If you're doing something active, hopefully something that you can find that you actually enjoy. Like me, I was supposed to work out with one of our other brother-in-laws, but he got sick. So instead, what happened when my wife and her sister went to go work out instead... I just went to the golf range. I went to the golf range. You know, I hit some balls. I went through, I played the little 9 course that we have there. Then I came back. I still had some time. So I went just on my elliptical, did a 2 mile run. Call it easy, you know?
Yeah.
As long as you get something in, something is better than nothing. So I was like, you know, let me just get something in. But I enjoy golf. So that's why I went and did that.
And just freaking at the driving range, you sweat.
You do, yeah. Especially since I'm like super sore right now. So I was just focusing on technique and stuff. So it's, and like I said, it's something that I like doing.
Yeah.
So even though it is active, I don't feel that like it's a chore. Where at the gym, it's a chore. I do it because, you know I have to, but it's a chore. It's not something that I definitely enjoy.
Yeah.
But.
So enough about BSing. It's 32 minutes already.
Perfect.
My buddy was going to come on the podcast to talk about, you know, how much is too nice, right?
Yeah.
I still want to give him that podcast. That's cool. But it did kind of, it did remind me of something that, since we're not going to do that one, it did remind me of something that I've been thinking about, something similar kind of in a way. Have you ever been, like, I'm not going to say taken advantage of.
But taken advantage of,
you know?
Yeah, man. I mean, of course. I feel like we all, to an extent, have, maybe not as extreme as other circumstances. But, yeah, most definitely. I mean, again, I feel like that's subjective as well. Like, there's some people that may feel like an extreme form of when they're taken advantage of. Where there's someone that can just be like, hey, man, you know that I'm just a nice person and you just abused me being nice. You know, or you're abusing, you know, me for me being nice. You're just abusing it.
Yeah. So when back in like, I think it was like 2000, I'm going to say 2008.
Don't shoot me. I got to take a piss, dude.
Really, bro?
I do. It's two minutes, bro. I'm sorry.
You can't hold it for another half an hour, bro.
Low key, I've been holding it since about 5 minutes in.
Okay, then. I'm sorry. We'll be right back.
I'm sorry, fool.
Welcome back. Before I was rudely interrupted by P.
Literally.
Dude. Even the wife's like, what did he eat? I'm like, no, he just got pee.
No, I just, it's, you know, when I take, well, first of all, I drink a ton of water. But with the passion, not only does it usually make me go pretty quick, I piss like a racehorse, dude.
you freaking ran.
Dude. Yeah, dude. I was holding it for a minute, bro.
Well, like I was saying before I was rudely interrupted. Let's go back to like 2008. So around 2008, that's when I was going through like my depression days and, you know, freaking suicidal thoughts and just the bullshit that was going on with, you know, the mother of my kids. That a friend of mine, he's like, hey, dude, I have a friend that has these rooms available. She has a room available, and it's above like her restaurant. You know, you want to go rent one of those rooms. Back then, I was working at a temp job, just real. It was just a regular, just a temporary job. I was, I don't know how was, how much longer I was going to go there, but I went there, and then he hooked me up with the owner, and I stayed up in the, I stayed up in the room for like maybe, I'm going to say 3 months maybe. And it was chill, bro. It's just to myself. It's a little tiny room. Like, you know, she dropped off the kids every once in a while. So it was just us, bro. I think I have some pictures of the kids, of me holding the kids in that little room. And Layla made fun of it because it was, the room was pink. The room was pink, but it had a, the window was facing the main street. For those of them that live in Oxnard, I mean, Oxnard Boulevard and 7th, you had the view of the street. The view of the restaurant across the street, the bar across the street, they had hookers. You had that view. Nice. Then the Arco nice. Across the street. It was fun. It was cool. I had my little, I had my TV on top of milk crates and shit. So it was like a little, a typical man's room, like a single man's room.
Minus the pink.
Minus the pink. Then some BS happened. Where, you know, my mom got arrested. So I left that room because we had to get custody. We didn't get custody, but all my little brothers didn't have anywhere to live. So I left. But in the time that I lived there, I became close friends with the owner's daughter.
Okay.
And she would always tell me to get my shit straight. So pretty much she would always like made it believe that I had a chance with her if I got my shit straight. Mm-hmm. And so, like I said, fast forward a couple months later, I end up going back to one of those rooms. Maybe a year later, I'm going to say a year later. Went back to one of those rooms, and by then I was kind of sharing a room with Frank now. Because now I was in the homeless stage, no job, no nothing. And she pretty much took me out of my my shell. I'm not a clubber. I never went to club, never went to the bar. But she took me to the club, you know. I think we went to Bombay's. Roger one day came with us too, and I'm like, dude, I don't dance. I just don't. She's like, you're gonna dance. You figure it out. Give me two adios, motherfuckers. Then, mm-hmm. Dude, I was gone. Apparently, at one point, I was doing the sprinkler with some white guys.
Hell yeah, dude.
That I was doing Hell it yeah. to mock them because they were white. But my fucking skin is white too, bro.
They're like, oh, another one of us.
Yeah, she took me, like I said, she took me out of my shell. And I think we went to Quinceañera one time in Santa Paula. And same thing, man. I ended up getting drunk that day. We're just having a good time, bro. And but it sucked because she told me, you're driving. I'm like, what the fuck? I think I drank a gallon of water in like 10 minutes, bro. Sobered me right up, bro.
Nice.
Sobered me right up. Then we, but what happened was, you know, I was getting too close to this individual, man. I was liking her. She made it crystal clear that she, from the get-go, even Roger to this day would tell me, you know, she liked you, bro. I'm like, nah, I don't know, man. One day because she would always tell me, like, get your shit straight. And one day she drove me to Camarillo, and she's like, I need you to, you're gonna drop off, can you do me a favor and drop this envelope at, you know, a certain car, just leave it on the window, whatever, you know me,
what harm can it do.
And yeah. Pretty much like after being through hell for fucking 6 years, and you know, in a relationship that this individual is totally different. I'm so fucking gullible, you know what I mean? Like, that I went to drop off that letter and dropped it off in the car or whatever. And then, one day, we went, like I said, we spent a lot of time together. I think the one time I had nowhere to stay, and she allowed me to stay in her house. Like, what, she lived with her mom. And she allowed me to stay in, and like she told her mom, I'm gonna let him stay here. He can sleep in my room, and he can, you know, so he can have somewhere to sleep. So I'm telling you, bro, like she really, like, she didn't sleep in the same room with me, just saying. Mm-hmm. But she really like made me believe that I had a chance because she was giving me all the signs.
To you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, one day, so my baby's mom was still kind of like in the picture and not in the picture, and the picture still not in the picture. So one day, she didn't like that this girl dropped me off where my baby's mom was staying at. She didn't like that very much. I'm like, she's dropping me off so I can come see my kids. That's it. So to be spiteful, my baby's mom called the code enforcement, the city.
Okay.
On the property, on where I was staying at.
Mm-hmm. With the pink rooms.
The pink room.
Okay.
So the city came over and they checked the house, the property, the building, and pretty much condemned it. They're like, no one should be living up here. Mm-hmm. Because there was multiple rooms, dude. It was 2, 4, maybe 8 rooms up there. Damn. Yeah. It was above a little restaurant, bro. So
yeah, so it's big.
Yeah. 8 to 10 rooms maybe. But the sad thing about it is that everyone shared like the one shower, the one bathroom, you know?
Oh, so
like, yeah, so it's kind of bathroom. Yeah. So I think at one point it was just mainly offices up there.
Okay.
And speaking of that bathroom, I fucking slipped and ate shit one day. that's not the point of the story. But so I told my friend, it's like, I'm going to leave. I mean, I don't need problems for you. And I just need to back off. She said, no, it's okay. We have friends that work for the city. Don't even trip. We got this. I'm like, all right, cool. I mean, I pretty much begged her for me to leave. And she pretty much insisted I stay. Mm-hmm. I'm like, all right, cool. All right, cool. They got shut down. I had to leave anyways. And so one day she calls me. She's like, hey, where are you at right now? I'm like, oh, I just pulled up to this AutoZone over here at, I think on Doris and Ventura Road. And she's like, okay, cool, whatever. She just made small talk, bro. 10 minutes later, she fucking pulled up. And she punched my baby's mom in the face. Mm-hmm. Because she got them in trouble with the city, mm-hmm. you know? And she punched her good, dude. And around that time, I was just pretty much with the whole jail stuff situation and shit that I didn't want to have police contact. I took off. I went for a walk, like Roger always says. His fucking guy walked everywhere. I took off for a walk, bro. I just took off. And then when the police got there, it was pretty much like, why are you guys fighting for this guy? Type kind of scenario, right? Mm-hmm. That's what the police
thought it was.
Mm-hmm. So I ended up walking back because we didn't have to leave the room there and then. They gave us like a 30-day, 60-day notice, whatever.
Typical, yeah.
So that's exactly where I walked to, back to my room. And when I got there, she was already there. And, dude, she was celebrating that she pretty much punched in the face, bro. So she said, let's go and have dinner. I'm like, I get a call from my baby's mom, where the fuck you at? I'm like, having dinner with that bitch. I'm, oh my god, dude, I'm telling you, bro, it's like, that
you're
was
like, well, yeah, she's paying for dinner.
Well, yeah, she's paying for dinner. And so one day I after all that, I, you know, my baby's mom files a restraining order and I have to go and pretty much pick a side. Mm-hmm. And I had to pick the mother of my kids' side because she kind of had my kids against me.
And to be fair, she did get sucker
punched. And then she did get sucker punched. So I went and she, you know, she punched her. So it was pretty much, this girl took it a stab in the back. That's exactly what it was.
Yeah.
So the friendship there ended. And then, but what I found out after, so I used to go to this, Frank and I used to go to this pool hall right there at, on A Street and 7th. And, everyone goes there. It's the only really pool hall in Oxnard, bro. Mm-hmm. And, I was in there one day and this guy approached me asking me if I wanted a beer. And I'm like, I don't drink, bro. But he said, no. Do you want a beer? I'm like, I guess. So I got to know this guy. We're talking. Turns out that he knew this chick as well. And he starts letting me in on some stuff, and we're talking about her, and I'm like, say, I don't talk to her. She's not talking to me right now because of the whole court thing. And he fills me in that the letter that I dropped off at this car was to his wife. So this guy's wife got a letter that had like these fake typed up emails where it made it look like this guy and that girl were sleeping together.
We're hooking up, yeah.
Yeah, we're hooking up so that the wife can leave him.
Why?
She wanted to be with him.
Oh, so they weren't hooking up then. So they were, so she brought it up.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay.
So she was exposing him.
Got it.
So then I also learned that the day that we were in Santa Paula, and she told me, you're driving. It was her friend. She had a friend with her. It was myself and her. And we drove. We were in Santa Paula at a quinceañera. And then she told me we're going to drive to Bombay's. Mm-hmm. I got to go meet someone or get something in the nature of like a female. Turned out that she went to go see him. He was in the club that night, and
you waited in the car,
and I waited in the car with her friend, and her friend is bawling. Dude, her friend's drunk, her friend's bawling. She's like, my husband's gonna get mad, and I'm out here too late, and I'm like, I'm sorry, I'm, this is not my car, I don't know what to do, I'm sorry. This girl's crying, bro, and I'm then trying to consult her, like trying to, I hug her, I'm sorry. It's like, I don't know, back then I didn't have a phone, bro, and you know.
Yeah.
And so yeah, it turns out that this girl that was making me believe that all I had to do was get my shit straight was actually playing me, using me so that she can get to what she really wanted, was homeboy.
Yeah, man, that always sucks and stuff like that, man. It's always, because it's hard to see. You don't know people's true intentions. And, you know, it's definitely one of those things where it's like abusing of trust. But at the same time, I always think it's always best to give people the benefit of the doubt until they prove you wrong or right. In this case, obviously, they proved you wrong.
Yeah.
You know, and...
Dude, like I said, Roger met her. Roger saw her around me. Roger saw how we acted with each other.
Yeah.
Roger was 100% convinced that she truly wanted to give me a chance as long as I got my shit together.
Well, yeah, I mean...
And even this guy even knew of me because she told her, she asked him, where's so-and-so? Oh, he's in the car hooking up with my friend. So she, not only did she use me, she used her friend.
Yeah.
As a cover, dude.
I mean, even if then, I guess, well, do you remember if that night, if he came out and walked her to the car afterwards?
No.
I mean, she could have also just said, like, oh, he's in the car hooking up with another friend. You could have been by yourself.
Yeah,
but
no, true.
I think she just maybe also just... For your company, it's like, hey, you got someone to talk to. So
yeah,
you know? Damn, that's crazy. That is some grimy stuff right there. You know, it's for sure elaborate though. That's elaborate right there.
It's one of those stories that kind of like I said a few episodes ago about my buddy Danny.
Yeah,
that once in a while this person comes to mind.
Yeah,
you know, I did see her. I did see her, we're talking 2013, maybe, 2014, so when I was doing this job, when I first started doing what I'm doing now, I was doing a relief, I was covering for somebody in the city of Oxnard, and I was walking out of a liquor store, and she was walking towards, like, her car. Like, I didn't have the guts to go up to her. I didn't want to open up, you know, past wounds and shit. Because I heard she was really pissed off about the restraining order. She was really pissed off. And she even blocked me on Facebook. That's how bad it is. And so I think it was like,
it's
maybe...
Facebook official, man.
Yeah. Once they block you on Facebook, that shit's official.
It's official.
Yeah. And so I think, like I said, every once in a while that she'd come to mind. And... I think in 2020, I found, at the beginning of 2020, I found, because she does real estate, so I found her information. And like you said earlier about reaching out, you reached out, you did your part, the ball's in their court. I sent her this massive long email where at the end of it I'm apologizing. Mm-hmm. And I apologized to her. But I think at the same time it was another stab in the back to know that when she found out that I was talking to homeboy and pretty much threw her under the bus as well.
Yeah.
But you know, I mean, when I found out what she was doing to me, then I like, well, you know, homeboy, yeah, it was me. I'm the one that put that letter in your wife's car. Yeah, dude, she's planning on doing this. Oh, dude, she wants to do that. Or she wants to do this. And blah, 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 blah. About maybe a few weeks later, he's like, everything you told me.
True.
Everything you told me she was planning on doing came true. I'm like, so I think that's another thing that, you know, like I was hurt, bro.
Yeah.
I was hurt. So at this time, I'm just like fucking throwing her under the bus to cover my fucking name. But because I could have gotten in trouble. I left, what, fake documents, like, what do you call it? What do you call those freaking, what do you call it?
Forging.
They were forged. It's fake. The emails weren't real, bro. And,
yeah.
And I'm a convicted felon. I'm a convicted felon. I'm fucking almost technically drinking and driving. I'm fucking doing all this bullshit, driving with no license, all this fucking bullshit because this girl took me out of my comfort zone. And
what do you call it? No, it's because you're chasing tail.
I mean,
just be real.
That's what it was, I guess. But no, yeah, it's just I felt like I was used in a just so that she can continue whatever affair she had going on.
See, with stuff like that I always like to think about is like, I wonder how far deep into your guys' initial friendship was she like, you know what, I should probably use this guy for, you know, X and Y reasons. And then, like, you know, where like her mindset or friendship changed of you and saw you in a different light, like, this guy can be of use of me for whatever real thing I'm trying to get.
Yeah.
So that's what I always like to kind of wonder is like, when and what made that shift in her mind to be like, yo, I can use this guy.
Yeah. She also made it clear one day, like, I met her son, she had a son, and she told her son, yeah, you know, that, oh, he likes your mom very much. Like, damn, like that, bro. Even the Pitbull song, I Know You Want Me. Like, oh, that like the song that she would, like, when it came on, she would look at me and.
Oh, so she knew she had your
reputation. Oh, yeah. Bro. Oh, yeah.
Women do that, man, unfortunately. Yeah, women do that. Yeah, no, there's obviously been times when, not nowhere near that drastic, where I feel like I've been used before, but. You know, because I'm pretty trusting, and I put my trust in people for the most part. I usually like to give people the benefit of the doubt. You know, like I said, until it's proven wrong or right. So, you know, nothing to that extreme. But there's definitely been times when, you know, I definitely feel like, oh, man, you just used me for this. And it may not be to necessarily, like, sabotage something, you know, whether it be for resourcefulness or, you know, finance, whatever the case may be, you know, it's definitely never a good feeling when you realize what the true reason why this person was either being nice to you, trying to help you out, trying to, simple as friendship. It's like a dirty feeling. You almost feel, I don't want to say stupid, but you kind of feel like, I can't believe I fell for their shit. I can't believe it, you know? And so it makes you kind of think of yourself like, wow, like how much of this friendship was real friendship?
Am I that fucking gullible? You know?
Yeah, so you do question yourself.
I'm telling you, dude, she played it pretty good.
A lot of
that Roger was 100% convinced that, nah, dude, she wanted you, bro. Like,
there's just a lot of narcissists out in this world that are very good at being manipulative, that know how to play that game. You know, there's been times where sometimes you don't even, like, you're like, no, there's no way, you know, homeboy, homegirl, you know, was doing this to me. There's no way. And then they show you proof and you're like, yo, what?
Yeah.
What? People are good, man.
Let's go back to the like the podcast I talked about my friend Danny. The way I see it, bro, is just sometimes it's, I was a dick to people. Karma's a bitch, and people are going to be a dick to me.
See,
in a very nice way.
Yeah, no, and in that aspect, do you think maybe your friend thought that maybe you were just using him?
I'm sure, yeah.
You know, and so it's kind of like I mentioned before, even though you left the ball in that person's court, sometimes, and you're like, yo, man, why is this person just not reaching out? You know what I mean? Like, sometimes they have to first get through what they're going, whatever they're going through first. So they have to get over whatever they're dealing with in order to start feeling like they can start reaching out. Because like you said, you left it in their court. People usually get upset like, yo, what's this person's issue? Let them deal with whatever they got going on internally. Eventually, they're going to reach out when they feel like the time is right. If that time ever comes. If it doesn't, you did your part.
Yeah.
What else can you do?
Like I said, I sent her a nice long email and never got a response. So I know that I did. I apologized. And
yeah, you cleared your conscience. Yeah. You know? Like I said, you threw it back over there.
I mean, like it, still, every once in a while, you just... Pitbull can come on the radio and it's like, I wonder how she's doing.
You know, I feel like all of us have that. We always have one person, whether it be a close friend, childhood, you know, someone that we respected, something that we like, someone that we had a past life with, that, you know, something always comes up where we think of someone that, you know, man, I wonder what this person is doing. You know, I had a good friend, very good friend. My dad and her dad were business partners. When we were younger, we went to school together and everything, and we reconnected back in college. I was with my ex, she was with her current husband, I believe. And yeah, we went out a few times to hang out, and great people. And then all of a sudden, like, fell off the face of the earth, you know. And then now I'm like, man, I wonder how she's doing, you know. She was such a big part of my childhood, you know. I just want to know how she's doing, how, you know, if she's doing well. You know, she's got a family now, you know, so I feel like we all have that person or those people that come to mind every once in a while.
Yeah. Some of them you don't try to reach out. They might be an ex, and you don't want to do that because you don't want to.
No, there's some that are not worth reaching
they're
out
for. They're not worth it. But if the relationship didn't end horrible, then, you know. But no, if there's no ties and you're remarried, there's no. But they do come to mind once in a while.
Of course.
You know, how are they doing? I mean, stuff like that. So I always wonder, like, even though she was pretty pissed off at me for throwing her under the bus, still, it's like, how is she doing? You know, I'm sure her son is probably, like, in his 20s by now.
Do you sometimes wonder, like, I wonder if she's tricked anyone else throughout these years?
That's never come to mind until right now.
Yeah.
What a bitch.
Like, man, I wonder who else she's tricking right now.
Yeah.
Like,
because
honestly, I really don't think, I mean, probably gonna get heat for this, but I really don't think people like that change. Like, because that's like almost a part of your life, living that double life.
Yeah.
It's a thrill for them. They love that shit.
I mean, it depends, man. Somebody, like, it's funny. I was just telling my wife the other day, I had to. She asked me about something. We were talking about people changing and stuff. And a scenario came up involving the mother of my kids. So I gave her a story of me and like the last time that. So I obviously left in January 2010. But like 6 months later, she had nowhere to go because she got evicted. I let her come stay where I was staying at for like the night. The next morning, she's talking to me like everything's back to normal. Mm-hmm. And she makes a comment about being used or whatever. I'm like, the fuck are you talking about? You should be used to that. You fucking use people all the time. She didn't like that comment very much.
Yeah.
Then that evening, the Lakers were in the championship. And I took off to my friend Daisy's house to go watch the game. And homegirl didn't like that very much. She thought that she assumed that we were going to get back together. So she thought she had me wrapped around her finger again. And no, I went to go hang out with my friends. So when I got back, she was gone. I'm like, all right, cool. She's gone. And the next morning she shows up with ex-boyfriend who I just left her alone in the apartment. She had nowhere else to. She needed someone to use, bro. So she ran back. And it's sad that some people, you're right, some people don't change. I feel like I've changed, because I feel bad for the certain things that I've done, especially to this guy Danny.
That's not at your core though. I feel like those are almost situational. That's not like the core. Like your core isn't to go and be like borrowing. You know what I'm trying to say? Like, you're not one to just go and ask for handouts and stuff like that. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but for the 6 years that I've known you, that's never been like your core to be like, yo, can you help me out with this? Can you lend me a hand with that? Can you do this and that? I mean,
correct. I've came close a couple times.
Hit lows though. Literally have been homeless. So there obviously was a period, unfortunately Daniel's part of that period, where that was just to your survival instinct. This, in this case, like using people for your own benefit is not a survival instinct. That's a manipulative mindset that people have, that again, that they have to actually change, because there's no survival in that. To them, it may seem like survival, but really it's just using people to continue to gain benefit, whether it be not even with just survival, but just with status or with whatever your their goal is, whether it's harmful or not.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. The differences,
because I mean that's what I wonder sometimes is, man, I wonder, you know, this person that they use me for this, you know, I'm thinking about actually one time I actually was used similar to you, not as much. Damn, this one fucking hurt. Low key, this one pretty hurt. This is actually how I got with my ex. I like this girl. She was a cheerleader. In high school, and I hit her up. You know, I had just broken up with my previous exes, and so I hit her up because we used to like each other before. You know, we just hooked up and stuff like that. But anyways, I didn't know she liked one of these football players. Big dude. He actually got a scholarship to go play at Oregon State. So pretty, you know, athletic guy.
He'll snap you like a fucking twig.
No, he was a big dude. He was a year or two older than me. So, and I was just a basketball player, you know, like, yeah, I was athletic and stuff like that. But this dude was a legit big dude.
Yeah.
Big black dude. I would get creamed. No chance. Especially then. I was tiny, dude. So anyway, I guess they were going back and forth. I had no idea of this. So I hit her up, and I guess at some point she thought, you know what? If I start talking to another athlete, like, this fool's gonna get jealous. Well, I was that person, but I came to talk to her, and she just saw the opportunity arise.
Yeah.
So she started, you know, and I'm like, oh dang, this girl, you know, she's hot, she's, you know, popular, she's a cheerleader, for God's sake. So I'm like, okay, perfect. You know, so like, but she wouldn't really want to hang out that much, like at school. I was like, what the fuck, man? You know, like, all right, whatever.
Not even first base.
Yeah, man. And then, like, she only wanted to hang out, like, outside of school. I'm like, well, whatever, you know. I'm here for the ride anyways, literally, so.
Yeah.
F it. So, and then it came down to, homecoming. And so I asked her to the dance, obviously. She's like, yeah. And then, so she had told me, yeah. And then come to find out, I guess, like, when pretty much she was talking on the side, that she was talking to me, and but she was hanging out with the football crowd, you know. So I guess she was feeling all this stuff to him, that, oh yeah, you know. And so she just wanted to paint a picture of me,
yeah,
on the side, like, oh yeah, you know, hey, like, I can't talk to you right now because I'm actually dating Ricky, when we were just kind of just going out.
Yeah.
And so, long story short, he ended up getting jealous, and he's like, oh hey, are you going to the dance with Ricky? And she's like, well, he was gonna ask me. He's like, well, before he does, will you go with me? And she's like, oh, okay, yeah. So then night before, she's like, hey, I'm sorry, but I'm actually going to go with homeboy. And one of her friends later on, so now I got no date to homecoming, bro. You know, I'm kind of like, and I didn't know what's going on. So, and I've never gone to a dance by myself. I've always had a date. And now I'm like, dang, night before? Come on, that's grimy. The only thing worse would be day of. Yeah. So now I got no date. So this is the first time I went stacked, man. It was weird. I was like, dang, you know, this is new. And then I find out that night that she's like, oh, you know, did you know that she was just using you to get him jealous? I was like, nah, stop it. She's like, yeah, I'm serious. That's why she didn't want to hang out, because she was feeding in his ear. And I was like, no way. She's like, yeah. I'm like, well, F it.
Yeah, I'll share one more story before we got to go. You've been here for a while now. And so my son Nick recently went through that, bro. So when he was a freshman, he had this female friend. And I told him, bro, having female friends don't always work out, because eventually they'll have a boyfriend and the boyfriend's not going to want, you know, the third wheel. Yeah. So my son was the third wheel for a while. And then he finally was hurt that his friends pretty much kicked him to the curb. So he stopped hanging out with them. So now, sophomore year, you know, he has this new friend, and all right, cool. They walk every day from school after school to either the CVS or the Habit, so I can swing by and pick him up. And she seemed cool. I mean, I even gave her a ride one day. She said, well, my mom's going to pick me up at the Starbucks. I'm like, well, we can just drop you off. And I saw their little friendship, right? The only thing I didn't like one day was that both my wife and myself, we caught him carrying her backpack. Mm-hmm. And we told him that needed to be nipped in the butt. You can't do that. She's not your girlfriend. You can't do that, bro. And he didn't understand, but he stopped doing it.
Yeah.
Fast forward a few months later, homegirl gets a boyfriend. So guess who's walking to CVS or the Habit by himself now? And so he came in the car one day, and I think it was like 2 weeks ago. He's going to get pissed off if he hears this. he got in the car, and my buddy Evan was on the phone and on speaker, and he started bringing back the Argentina versus, France?
Okay.
Just the FIFA?
Yeah, yeah.
Because Nick lost $50 to him for betting against, you know, for...
Yeah.
Betting against Argentina. And Nick, before my buddy Evan can say two words, bro, Nick just fucking hung up on him. Boom. They just fuck him up, hung up. And I'm like, damn, somebody woke up on the wrong side of the bed. We get home, and usually, however I put the car in the driveway, if I reverse, whoever's sitting in the passenger seat has to open the gate. If I go in forward, whoever's closest to the gate lock, that's who gets off. Like, okay. So it depends on if I reverse or going forward. Whoever's closest to the... So, you know, that's who opens the gate. So Nick's turn to open the gate, and he got out of my car and he fucking slammed the door really hard. I come in the house after I parked the car, and I'm like, I don't give a shit what fucking crawled up your ass, but if you ever slam my fucking door again, it's not going to end well for you. And he was like, I didn't slam your door. But he went in the room. When he saw my wife, he just started bawling. He started crying. Pretty much, my son had his first heartbreak. Mm-hmm. Pretty much. This little kid used him. Pretty much used him. And
for similar reasons.
It's similar reasons, exactly. So,
yeah.
It's going to happen, man. It's going to happen. We just got to, like me, I learned, started catching red flags, and didn't allow it to happen again.
It's hard when you're that age, you know, because it's true, man. All these boys, they're going to just want, because I was in a similar situation one time where, yeah, you know, your girlfriend has a good guy friend. You're like, that's cool. But homie, he's a competitor. So I'm sorry, but at that point, you kind of got to choose.
Yeah.
You know, and once you build self-esteem in yourself, then you don't really care who your girlfriend's hanging out with. But at that age, everyone is hormonal, and everyone feels like they're almost like a primitive mindset where, no, this is mine.
And that's the thing that he has. He believes that he's not a handsome kid. Mm-hmm. But yet when my wife's sharing photos with the group family, family chats and stuff, and you have, you know, one of our sister-in-laws saying, oh my God, he's so fucking handsome. And,
yeah, you know, dude, he's a good-looking kid.
And he's so handsome, and he's, you know, so tall, and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, you know, I'm like, mijo, don't ignore your tia's compliments. They're genuine compliments. So, I mean,
he's got a good head on his shoulders, man. You know, there's, it's hard at that age. You just, like, for me, it was different because, I mean, I don't know about your high school years, but for me, one, I was the only boy, so I was always getting the attention. I'm used to it. That's why I like the attention now. I'm used to the attention. Yeah, I'm
one of the. Remember earlier you asked people grow out of it? You don't.
I don't, man. I don't. So, and two, I was a student athlete, and you know, thankfully, I was just good at basketball. So when you're good at a sport, everyone knows you. Everyone knows your name. Everyone recognizes you.
Yeah.
And because obviously being in a sport, I was just, you know, I was a fit person, and I took fitness very seriously. And then my dad was very big on my nutrition. So I was very fit. I wasn't like big and like bulky and strong. I was just very fit. So my confidence was through the roof. Like I said, at the time, I even challenged my dad to a fight, but then he fucking, you know, he set me in my place, yeah. You know, and I realized, never mind, I'm not big dog.
Yeah.
I may be medium-sized dog at school, but I'm still small dog here at the house. I'm not near big dog yet. So my confidence was on the rise.
Yeah.
You know, almost a little, I would say borderline cocky, you know, for sure. But again, that's because that's just kind of what was fed to me.
Yeah.
You know, so it's people that just don't go through that, unfortunately. Kids that don't go through that, you know, they don't, they have to find it a different way. Where they're like, man, you know what? I have a lot of talents. I have a lot of value. I have a lot of, you know, this going on. You know, otherwise, they're always going to be questioning themselves.
Yeah. Yep.
That's the hard part, is to how to show. It's like the typical saying, even with, like, you know, like women today. Like, I love that saying, like, I wish you can see you through my eyes. You know, when my wife feels a little insecure, you know, I'm like, no, you look great in, like, you know, this outfit. She's like, really? I don't look, no, you look great. I always say, I wish you could see how you look through my eyes. You know, you can see the true beauty. You can see how great, you know, you really are. You know, but it's always like, no, they're just saying that because that's family. That's my husband.
I mean, you don't have to kiss her ass, bro. You're gonna marry her.
No, I'm serious, man. There's times where, like, I'm like, she questions me. No, you look great.
And there's a difference between you and me, bro. I've been through so much more shit that when my wife dresses up, my question is like, where is he? where are you gonna go see him? What the fuck's going on? And then she finally caught on one day, and she says, "Is this your way of telling me that I look nice? Oh, what club are you going to, or whatever, right?
Yeah.
You going to the club?" So then she finally caught on, and she says, "Is this your way of telling me that I look nice?" Yeah. Why can't you just fucking say that? Why can't you just fucking say that instead of asking me what club I'm going to?
So, each person is different, man. Yeah. You know? But no, dude, Nick's a great kid. He's a good-looking kid, obviously. Like, in that photo that Letty posted today, you know, I was telling Betty, I'm like, man, you know, like, you know, we, you know, on both sides, mine and her side, man, we're good looking side, you know, so that we have a lot to be thankful for, you know. And, you know, I understand probably Nick's perspective is probably like, well, it's his family saying it.
Yeah.
You know, so he'll grow into it.
Yeah. We'll see what's up. But while you were at school being cocky, in high school, I was on the computer playing Doom or learning what Google was. I was learning what I remember Googling The Rock, Stone Cold, and all that bullshit back in the day.
This internet thing is nice.
Yeah. Printing some papers out and shit. But anyways, Rick, it is late already. 8 o'clock, bro. Damn. But we'll see what's up next time. See if this guy comes back on, or you don't have to be here, bro. You've been here already. Fuck it.
Yeah.
But like any other podcast, Rick, thank you for riding with me.
Thanks for having me, man.
Thank you for listening to Ride With Me, the Flat Tire Indie Podcast. You can also listen to us on iTunes, Spotify, and Podbean.